Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we are here with Illini guy Brad Sturdy and Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. Just coming off of an Illini victory over Wisconsin, 61-51, that very much to my eye, when Illinois lost to Indiana, the gap was a lot bigger than what the scoreboard showed. And today I thought that the Illini were much better than the 10 points that they won by. As we look at this game, Brad, you know, this is a Wisconsin team that just doesn't seem to have the physical talent of Wisconsin teams of old. What were your initial thoughts coming out of this game?
Yeah, Wisconsin just lacks the athleticism. And they don't have length either. I mean, they have some guys who are skilled, you know. But when you have skilled guys who – and you don't have a guy who can really create for them, it makes it difficult for them to score. They're not very good offenses. They rely on systems. They rely on running back cuts and getting, you know, opportunities where they – but then, you know, it's tough when you – even when you get a back cut and you get there, then there's a 6'9 or 6'10 guy waiting for you with length, and Illinois has that. And they can test those shots inside. I think guard has done a great job with the system, but he hasn't done a good enough job recruiting players that can play. I mean, they're just – they've got a bunch of role guys out there. They don't – you know, Chucky Hepburn's probably their best player, and he's a solid – player. I mean, honestly, Chucky Hepburn in Illinois would be great, right? I mean, be a point guard, would be great, but they don't have those guys around him. They don't have anybody who's like Matt Meyer or Terrence Shannon or Coleman Hawkins. They don't have anybody. Dane Danger. They don't have any. Shoot, they don't have guys like RJ Melendez. I mean, you know, athletes like him. I mean, Ty Rogers. They don't have that kind of athleticism or length, and it makes it really tough. But I thought Illinois showed some toughness in the sense that they battled through a first half when they really didn't play well, didn't look very good, and still led by four at half. And then the second half when they came out with a good spurt, and then they went to the bench, which was interesting. I thought that was interesting that Underwood did that at the 16-minute mark. He tried to get a breather for his guys, but he took three of them out. He took Meyer, Epps, and Hawkins out all at the same time, which wasn't maybe the best thing to do at that point. And so we have a little, and they just lost momentum and they couldn't get anything going offensively, but then they did, you know, then they rebounded. So they showed some resiliency and some toughness on the road, and you know, but they have to do a better job of making decisions and taking good shots in those stretches when things aren't going well, you know, get some more touches for Danger there. And I know part of that's Dane. He didn't do a great job in the second half of holding position or ceiling, and I don't know why, but he just wasn't really – maybe he's tired. He played 19 minutes in the first half, so there could be something there. But overall, they just have to do a better job in those times when – so they don't have those long scoring droughts.
Yep. Ked, what were your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to, you know, say what I've been saying all week. I really think, looking at the schedule, this was Illinois' biggest stretch game for me because, you know, they have Nebraska coming home. And then you got to go to Iowa City, and that's going to be tough. You're not going to walk in Iowa City this year and just blow them off the doors. I just don't see that happening. This was big because Wisconsin, even though they had lost 5 of 6, they've been, you know, they're capable of beating anybody, and it's tough to win there. I think it's tough. It's a tough shooting environment. I mean, you look at Illinois, the way they shot the ball today, and typically a lot of teams don't shoot great there. It's happened, but today was big because, like I said to you, you get, you know, a Nebraska team at home that you should beat. And, you know, beating and now what this does to me, you know, when you lose at home to Indiana, this is big because you went on the road. And Brad Underwood, if, I remember one day we were in Champaign at a practice, Brad said, I don't know if you remember this, but Coach Underwood told us that the key to winning Big Ten titles and winning in the tournament, you got to try to hold teams under 40% shooting. And that's what they've done over the years. If people look at the history when they won the Big Ten tournament and the Big Ten, they were very good defensively on the road. And today it showed. Illinois is going to hold their hat, you know, defensively. I have some concerns, and I've been saying this the last few podcasts. I don't mind the guys shooting threes. I just think they're not good threes. They're just shooting threes. And today I saw a guy, I'm just going to say, I thought Terrence Shannon was trying to get his today when it was late. Matthew Meyer was had the hot hand. Dame Danger was solid. You know, you want to come out with the win at the end of the day. And I would much rather see guys recognize that and go with the hot hand. And I even thought Coach Underwood called plays for Matthew, which I really and truly like. So it's a big win. I mean, Wisconsin's not great, but this is a big win because you're going to have some tough ones. And you got to start trying to separate yourself because, you know, we know Purdue's going to win the Big Ten title. We can pretend that that's not going to happen. It is. Now you're looking for second, third, fourth place, so you don't have to play on the first day of the Big Ten tournament. You want to try to avoid that. So don't take this for granted. It's Wisconsin. And last comment, I think Brad Sturdy is right. I like their system. I wouldn't want to play in it, but I just don't think Greg Gard has the players to run it. You're right. He has a bunch of role players, and they shot the ball really well early on in the season. Illinois dodged the bullet because they're capable of shooting them. They just didn't go in today.
Yeah, and I thought one of the interesting, it wasn't a huge statistic, but, you know, in the first half, especially with the limited number of possessions that we saw today, in the first half, you know, Illinois had 7 turnovers to 2 for Wisconsin. Illinois was up 20-16, and it was only a 4-point game, but they held Wisconsin to 18.2% shooting from the field. I thought the only thing that kept Wisconsin in the game was some of Illinois' turnovers that would give them another possession. And when you're hitting 18% of the shots, you need every possession that you can possibly get. And in the second half, again, you got to remember, these teams weren't going up and down the court. But in the second half, you know, Illinois only had 4 turnovers, which was a heck of a half for them. Wisconsin had 7 total. Not a horrible half, but they had 3 in about the first 2 minutes of the second half. And then, as Brad brought up, that it was 32-20, I believe, when Meyer and company went out. And pretty quickly there, you know, the lead went away very, very quickly. So, Brad, when we look at this game, you know, again, another game where Matt Meyer kind of did everything for the Illini, and he did it also when they needed it. Were you impressed by the basketball IQ that he showed today? I thought there was a lot of times that he really kind of took what the defense gave him.
I thought he did a good job of finding a mismatch and taking advantage of it when they get switched. Wisconsin switches a lot on defense, which is, you know, interesting, you know, because I was told that you can't switch on defense earlier this year. But anyway, so this is, you know, Wisconsin switches a lot and gets some mismatches. But Meyer waited until he had the right mismatch against a bigger guy, or they only did some great actions where they got hit, both him, Epps, and Shannon, you know, attacking downhill. Off of, you know, handoffs or ball screens and so they did a great job with that. So I thought Meyer took advantage of what he had. He, you know, he's 6'9". He's able to shoot over smaller guys. He's able to, you know, big guys have to give him space because he can go by him. And so he's able to get shots off there. I thought he did a good job. The only time I think sometimes he does get a little heat check happy where he hits a couple and then he's the next one, it's going up no matter what. And, you know, and he's a, don't get me wrong, I mean, he's a fantastic scorer. But sometimes, you know, maybe move the ball. I think Shannon gets that way too at times, you know. So that's part of their issue right now is they kind of figure that out. But this team guards. This team defends. And I'm going to give a, you know, Jaden Epps I thought was fantastic, and especially in the second half. Much better of finding angles, getting downhill, making plays. offensively. I thought he handled the ball better in the second half. You know, he's really emerged as a really good player. I mean, 2 assists only, but 1 turnover. That's really what you, I mean, you get a freshman point guard going on the road, scoring, what, 13 points, only having 1 turnover. That's exactly what you're asking for, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty good stuff. So that, I thought that was good. I'm going to shout out to RJ Melendez because, again, I just feel like this kid is doing everything except making buckets, although he did have the nice dunk. But he just can't shoot right now. But, my gosh, he is defending. I mean, when he was on Hepburn couldn't do anything today, could not get a shot because of his length, his quickness. He did a great job defensively. He rotated a couple times in the post on Crowell, even when they had a mismatch. I thought RJ was just elite defensively today. Now, he's got to start making shots. I mean, you can't – he is like 5 for 36 since his little shoulder injury. Almost everyone short, too. So, and the thing is, you watch him in warm-ups, and we've seen – all of us have watched that. He makes them. So, it's mental. He just has to figure it out. Once he gets that going, boy, he creates another weapon for them offensively that they really could be helpful down the stretch.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, I've said this before, and I think today you saw Matthew Meyer is the X factor for this team. Everybody knows that at the top of the scouting report is going to be Terrence Shannon. You know you have to guard Dane Danger. Coleman Hawkins can go off on you. The reason I like Matthew Meyer is because most teams, and I've said this before, very few teams can go line up with 3 guys who are 6'9", 6'10", right across the front line. And so typically – what you will see is you will see a 6'5", 6'4 guy trying to guard him, and he's able to shoot over the top, and he's able to get that up and under move that he's kind of perfected since he's been at Illinois. I think that's great, and if he's making shots, he makes them elite. I know, you know, people make fun of Coach Underwood for using that word, but I really think he does, because you're going to get for most nights, you're going to get 20 points from Terrence Shannon. And right now, Jaden Epps is giving you some buckets, and, you know, Coleman's as well. So when he's scoring, if he's not scoring, he's facilitating. I just like Matthew's game. And here's the deal. We all know coming into the season that he's capable of going on runs. And if he shoots one or two of those bad shots, I'm going to be honest, I'm cool with that, because he's confident. There's a difference between being confident and arrogant, cocky. And I like that about him. You know, you need guys like that. And I don't know if Illinois has enough of those guys. And, I mean, he has amnesia. And I think the other player that has it is Jaden Epps. Now, I want to go to I want to talk about RJ Melendez. I mean, I know we're media guys and we're supposed to be biased, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really pulling for that kid. I just watch him, and not just today's game, but against Ohio State, he is defending at another level. And the last three I think I seen him make was they called an offensive foul and it went in and it didn't count. And he just needs to see one go down. I even think he's a good free throw shooter. I think he's shooting close to 80%. You know, he's not making free throws. And it is mental, because if he wasn't healthy, he wouldn't be playing. And they're going to need him. That dunk that we all saw today against Wisconsin is what we know he can do all the time. And if he's knocking down shots and people are flying out at him, and he's tightening up his handles, he can get to the rim and he can finish. I just really want to see him succeed for himself, because you can see he's frustrated. He's really, really positive. And, I mean, his body language is a lot better, especially after that dunk. And maybe that'll turn the corner for him. But I just think, you know, Brad, you mentioned those two guys. And I really thought what they brought to the table was huge. And my last guy I mentioned a little bit earlier, too, was Jaden Epps. This kid, to me, I mean, I don't know. I guess I like to score. But he really does have amnesia. He doesn't – if he misses 10 shots in a row, in his mind the next one's going in. Coaches preach that, but he actually lives it.
Yeah, he does. And you know, it seemed like the degree of difficulty on some of his layups was tough. But then in the second half, you know, he got the shoulder passed a little bit earlier and, you know, and then he had a little bit easier shots. Brad, any thoughts on if you're Terrence Shannon, what you might do? Because it is a strange one. He will go one game where he has 9 or 10 free throws and he's taking advantage of what the offense gives him, to the next game, anytime he touches an opposing player, it's a charge. How does a player get through that when they're trying to figure out like what they can and cannot do?
You know, it's tough. And I think that's where he's kind of learning a little bit. He handled a little bit better today, but it's really difficult to, it's really difficult to when there's no consistency from the officials. And I think that's where he's seen. He goes to the basket one time, doesn't get the foul. And I think he has to learn to play through it a little bit. And I think sometimes what I'd like to see him do, I think sometimes he tries hard to get the foul instead of just trying to finish. And then I think he'll get the foul if he just finishes. You know what I mean? And I think that's where he's got to make that adjustment. I'm not saying it's easy to do from a mental standpoint, because he also knows he's getting called for a ticky-tack foul here, and then he gets a couple offensive fouls, and it's a little frustrating. So, but that's, you know, he's an older guy. He's just got to play through it. But it's difficult to do this. The one thing I'd like to see them do, possibly to help him out when he's going through sometimes some of these things, is use him as a post. Post him up, especially when you have Hawkins in the game at the five. Use, because they usually have like a Chucky Hepburn or some 6'4" guy on him, and who's, you know, unathletic white kid, you know, from Wisconsin, just throwing the, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be mean here, but there's no way he couldn't just turn and shoot over that guy in the post. I mean, just take advantage of that, his athleticism and size, and then it might get him going and open up some gaps and things and help his confidence a little bit when he's struggling. So now I know they do that with Meyer. They do that with, obviously they post up Dane, maybe even ISO Coleman at times in that, but they never really do Shannon from that, you know, from that mid range, from that low post. And so I'd like to see that a little bit occasionally, when, especially when things are kind of going haywire and struggling.
I would like to really see him, you know, I think the teams, the way they defend him, I think they're all different. And some teams are just better defensively. I mean, we all know, and I know they were told with the scouting report, Wisconsin's a physical team. And so they bump you. And so I wasn't surprised with him missing layups today. You know, Nebraska is going to be a good defensive team. So the way teams are defending him, I think everybody's doing the same thing. I mean, I think it's overrated with people saying shade him left, shade him left. He can go right. I just think it depends on the team. But my biggest – this isn't even a complaint. My biggest thing with him right now is I think he's a better shooter than what he's shown lately. I just think he's chucking up shots, and they're bad shots. And he'll apologize. You'll see him look over to the bench and say, hey, my bad, my fault, I, you know, whatever. Just get it from within the framework of the offense. If for some reason, I know he's trying to get to the league and his numbers, you know, suffer for the first half. But the one thing I do like about him, he doesn't pout, he doesn't sulk. He doesn't know, you can't tell if he has 30 points or if he has 8 or 9. So, but right now, I just want to see him lead. And today, I would have, you know, because he shot a couple threes or shots that they were just ill-advised to me. But, you know, he's able to get to the rack, and he's a good free throw shooter. And when shots aren't falling, you know, you need that guy. He's the one guy on the team, that missing piece that Illinois didn't have last year, that quote-unquote great wing athlete. You know, we thought RJ was going to be that guy, but he's struggling this year. So Terrence is going to be okay. He's going to be fine. I just think he needs to get threes. And the offense, the way it's designed, you know, you look occasionally, Coach Underwood designing plays for every kid to get a three. He designed one for Matthew today. Coleman, you know, waved it off, which I was kind of surprised about. And then he ran one for RJ. So they're going to get looks. I just don't like the fact that they're forcing them. And I think he's done it a few too many times recently, just trying to get his numbers, I think. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the interesting thing was during that streak where Meyer and company were sitting down, and next thing you know, it's 34 to 32 Illinois, you know, the leads evaporated. I thought there were a couple bad shots from Shannon there in that time frame. And just because you're the guy who the team expects to, you know, lead the scoring in that five, doesn't mean that they expect you to take crazy shots. The other thing I thought was interesting was Meyer, you know, he did kind of what he does in Baylor, which is take advantage of mismatches, get a couple junk ones in the lane, like the one where he did the reverse layup, you know, over the top of his head was good. Defensively, you look at this team, and we have, you know, a few games coming up here. with you know, looking I guess next is, as Ked said, you know, gonna play Nebraska, and then of course next Saturday at Iowa. Defensively, how do you feel about this team going in? Like I said, Nebraska's not good, but offensively, but Iowa, you know, you're going to need to stop them from scoring, because if you want to keep up with them in a jump shooting contest, you're probably going to end up in some problems. How do they look to you, Brad, on the defensive end of the court?
Well, I Iowa doesn't guard anybody. I mean, the biggest thing with Iowa, you just got to score. You got to score. You're going to defend them. Illinois is going to defend. That's what they're going to do. But Iowa's going to score because they're so good offensively. And you know, you can say what you want about everybody, you know, Fran McCaffrey this, Fran McCaffrey that. Every year they're good offensively. Yep. So that becomes a pattern. That means you're a good coach. You do some good things. But every year they're also bad defensively. So that tells you that maybe you're not a good defensive coach, or you don't have the athletes. So I do think Illinois have to guard them, but they can't have long scoring droughts because Iowa will put up points. You know, Wisconsin doesn't put up points in a hurry. So you can have a 4-minute scoring drought and they might only score 6 points. So you lost 6 points in that 4 minutes. Iowa might score 14 and or 16 or 20 in 4 minutes, because I mean, they can throw points up in a hurry. They get hot. And so you have to keep scoring and keep having good possessions against Iowa, because you can, if you do it. I mean, if you execute offensively, you will get good shots against Iowa and you will score. Obviously it's a tough place to play, but I really think Illinois, if they can take care of business at home, I think they can win next weekend. There is nobody, and I'm not, the Big Ten is fine. The Big Ten is deep. There's a lot of teams that can beat you. Big Ten is not very good at the top. Purdue is fine. They're a good team. Illinois Rutgers probably 2-3. There's no team out there that you say, gosh, we can't, they're so tough to beat. We can't win on the road. Every team's beatable. You come out and play, if Illinois plays well, I think they're the second most talented. No, I think they're the most talented team in the Big Ten. You know, they don't have Zach Edey, who is the best player, most dominant player in the Big Ten, but they are the most talented team in the Big Ten. And I think they're just going to get better. They're going to add another piece here in the next few days too. So I think that's important.
Well, what you don't want to do is to overlook and play through the level of competition when Nebraska comes home. They will be favored and they'll be expected to win. I know Illinois, to me, when I look at the game in Iowa City, they are a really good catch and shoot team. You know, Murray's going to get his. And there's a guy named Peyton Sanford that people may not know a lot about. I thought he played good Illinois a couple of years ago. Iowa's a good catch-and-shoot team. They're quick at it. But I don't want to see – I think it was going to hurt Illinois because defense travels – is that they're so aggressive. And this show is not about the officiating, but I think sometimes a home court advantage gives teams advantages, and that's what is supposed to happen. So, like, if you get a foul in Iowa City and they start booing, I'm telling you right now, the game is going to change, because Illinois is aggressive defensively. You saw Wisconsin get kind of frustrated with it today, because Sincere was guarding aggressively. Dane was starting to guard, you know, aggressively. And so in Iowa City, those fouls are going to become issues, and you don't want your best players to be sitting on the bench in foul trouble, but they do. Illinois is going to always have a chance if they defend, and you've seen major improvements of that. Missouri game, you didn't see things like that, and I guess the Indiana game. But I'll tell you this, you know, people want to criticize and people were upset about Coach Underwood and, you know, how he defended that. And I've said before, he's going to make adjustments. He just is. And he's very good at that. So this is a big stretch. And I think Brad is right. I would include Michigan State in that group. Now Illinois looks like a team, you know, that when you get in the tournament, that they're dangerous, but they cannot go to the tournament shooting 26% from three and 30% from the free throw line. I don't care what seed you get, you're going to get beat. One of the non-power five schools, if that's what you get in the tournament, you're going to get beat. So to me, it's there for them in the taking, for them for the taking. They just have to play smart. And here's the deal, the clock's ticking for a lot of these guys. A guy that Brad mentioned, they didn't mention his name, but was Luke Goody. I thought a game today, like, you know, because the lack of shooting would be good for them. If Luke Goody's able to come back and just be somewhat consistent, 35-37% three-point shooter, it's going to change the game for Dane. Dane will be much more effective. And today I was proud of him. He didn't force the issue at all today. I think there was times where he could have shot it, but Wisconsin is so well coached defensively. Some of those probably would have been charges. I was okay with him not forcing shots, but they got to get him more involved. He is just a secret weapon to have, and I really like what he's bringing to the table, except for he needs more opportunities. And, you know, in the tournament, you know, teams aren't going to be able to scout him the way the Big Ten does. So he should have a field day if he's not going up against another Zach Edey, which is only one Zach Edey, I guess.
Yeah, I think Dane's foot speed is going to take a lot of teams by surprise because, you know, it's just he's so big for the deftness of foot that he has that I think, you know, guys are going to have to get used to him doing that. So, Brad, the interesting thing is, and I know you don't spend a lot of time doing this, but during the game, during timeouts, I was looking at Wisconsin Twitter, and they went from firing Coach Gard to everything is sunshine and rainbows as they caught back up in the second half to back to firing Coach Gard. So they're as mercurial as any Illini fan. But, you know, let's take a look just for a second here. What do you do if you're up in Wisconsin and you're the athletic director?
Well, I mean, you got to let the year play out. You know, you support the guy until you're going to fire the guy. But, I mean, it's probably not time to get rid of Greg Gard this year. But I think if they don't make the tournament, then I think he's hot seat next year. And then you go from there. He's got to recruit better athletes. You can run all the systems. And I honestly thought they ran some good stuff to get some of the things they wanted, but it doesn't matter if you don't have the ability to do that. I think they play really good defense, solid, sound defense. But it doesn't matter if you don't have the athletes to do it. And because they can just go, like Matthew Meyer can just go play and get a bucket. You know, Jaden Epps, just go by your guy and get a bucket. It doesn't matter how solid you are defensively. So, yeah, there's just, he's got to get better players. It's just that simple.
And you know what, it is. And if you look at the game today, he ran some good action. I mean, you know, they ran with guys coming off stagger screens. They just didn't make shots. And that's what I said earlier. Typically, you know, early in the season, that you know, they're a good three-point shooting team. And Illinois played good defense, but Wisconsin did have open looks. They just didn't fall. So, I mean, I can't see them getting rid of him after a year like this because Wisconsin's always been in the tournament. And I still think they're capable of going on a run. I mean, I know the fans are mad. But, Mike, I'll close it with this. The fans are like it everywhere. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you win, like today, you know, everybody was probably frustrated because shots weren't falling, and it's probably Coach Underwood's fault, and he probably should have put on a uniform. But at the end of the day, it's like that. I'm numb to it now because that's what's going to happen in sports.
Yeah, it is funny. The fans are just so many fans have forgotten that there's two teams on the court, and both teams want to win. So, Brad, before we get Matt Stevens to jump in here, I'll have you and Ked kind of give me your final wrap up on your thoughts of this game.
I think my thoughts are this team, Illinois is a team that can beat anybody on a given day because of their defense. That's going to let them hang around. But they can also lose to anybody because offensively they go through long stretches of, you know, relying on a guy to just make some really tough shots to win. And so I think that, you know, they have to figure out the offensive end of the court if they want to make a long-term run at the end of the year in the NCAA tournament, Big Ten tournament, whatever it is, and finish. I do think they can finish in the top near the top of the conference, second or third, whatever it might be, if they can figure that out. I think they're a team that is poised to make a run down the stretch. They've won 6 of 7. We keep talking about inconsistency, but I don't know. There aren't many teams right now that have won 6 of 7 in the NCAA. And so I think at some point you got to say, well, that's pretty consistent when you win 6 of 7. So, yeah, you may not always be pretty, but they're getting the job done.
Well, you know what? You're right. You know, the 6 of 7, I think what is tough for the average person to look at was that 0-3 start. That 0-3 start, you know, is coming back to haunt them a little bit, but there's nothing you can do about it except for play the next game on your schedule. And the thing that I will say this about the scoring drops, every team has them. Every team has them. But what good teams do, they find a way to stop the bleeding because teams are going to go on runs. And if you're not going to go on a run, then darn it, you better defend, and you better defend like this. You know, there's no tomorrow. That's going to be the key because even in the tournament, you know, you could be the best team or worst team, expect a run, and expect teams to answer the call. And, you know, there was a stretch today where Wisconsin went on a 10-2 run, and then Illinois went on the run. But defensively is going to be the key. And then for the rest of the season, the way I look at it, because they're going to get points. Each night there's going to be somebody different who's going to step up to the plate. And I will say this, I'm really, really impressed with Coach Underwood, what he's doing offensively. I've seen some things offensively today, that backdoor cut, they ran it, and now they're getting layups off of it. Teams have to defend it. I mean, if you look, I think Jaden Upsmith, he got two buckets off of it. Coming out of the Ohio State game, the first play out of the half, Sincere Harris got it, I believe. Having said that, things are looking up. You know, Illinois is trending up right now, and I like you know where they're going. But you got to beat the team you're supposed to beat.
Yep, that's so true. So we're about to have Matt Stevens join us. Obviously, Illini guy, staff writer, who's up in Wisconsin. He's the guy who brings the good weather with him wherever he goes. One last question for you, Brad, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I did get a lot of Illini fans asking me about, you know, when's Luke Goody going to play? When are we going to see him? Are there any updates that you are aware of that folks can kind of, you know, grab a hold of if they're out there?
I think we'll find out Monday. We'll get a little word Monday. I think he's getting a reeval on Monday, and that would be, I think that's the final, hopefully the final go ahead to start going in practice. He's been doing stuff with more stuff with one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three stuff, more with the managers, not really as part of practice, but he's doing some drills and practice and different things. So they're just ramping it up before they can do this. But he, you know, so if let's say, you know, it's Monday and he's cleared, you know, he's not going to play Tuesday, but you start moving and he'll start practicing. And then, you know, maybe it's Iowa, maybe it's the following week, more likely against Minnesota about a week after, you know, getting through practices and different things.
Cool. All right. Thank you for that. So Matt Stevens, you were up there. What's your initial thoughts on the game after watching what was a brutally painful offensive half? And to be honest, I don't know that Illini fans or Badger fans were particularly pleased with the first half, but what was your thoughts on that game?
I think Kedrick Prince stole my thunder, because did I just hear him say that defense is going to be the key for the rest of the year? Because, I mean, he's not on anymore to defend himself anymore, but, like, what happened to Kedrick? Like, what happened to you got to make shots? What happened to our you got to make shots guy? Look, I'm a numbers guy, okay? Today is the fourth game that Illinois has won in which they have not shot 45% or better, okay? You know how many games Illinois has won when the opponent has shot 45% or better?
None.
Zero. Okay. And so there isn't anything better that can be said. I think if this team defends and rebounds the way that they're capable of doing, and they're going to win a lot of games, and they're going to get themselves back into getting that double bye situation for the Big Ten tournament and getting in that top four. I think today you saw a game in which, you know, Terrence Shannon barely did anything for you. And you didn't really get the offense that you wanted to get for probably two thirds of the game, from a aesthetically pleasing beauty standpoint. But you won the game in a pretty matter of fact way on the road in a place that you haven't done that a whole lot, except for the last three times you've been here. And so, yeah, I think there were a lot of things that you can build on the defensive end of the floor and on just from a toughness standpoint that Illinois has built this program under Brad Underwood about. And I think there's a lot of things you can. I think offensively, one of the things that I think they did really well today was Brad Underwood. I don't know how often Brad Underwood gets called a player's coach, but he ought to more, I think, because today they just ran stuff for guys. And, you know, I heard Dan Danger and Matthew Meyer, you're going to hear them in the postgame video, basically just say there were points in the second half where the play call was get Matthew Meyer the effing ball and get the hell out of his way. And I mean, that's understanding where you are in the game. That's understanding what the situation is, and that's understanding what you need to do to win. And that's a fifth year senior in Matthew Mayer going, or, you know, Matthew Mayer going, I mean, Dane Jane just said, there are times Matthew goes, I've got this blankety blank on me, get me the ball, which stands for the dude that they have guarding me can't do it. So, and that's why you see Matthew Mayer go for a career high 26 today. And you're able to win a game in which I think Terrence Shannon had what, six? I mean, and did nothing for you in the first half. And Coleman has three shot attempts and he does so many other things that lets you try to win this game because, you know, at least he made whatever Tyler Wahl got when he wasn't in foul trouble difficult on the offensive end. I mean, he tried to back Coleman in a lot of the time. And at some point Coleman just didn't let him go. I mean, so a lot of the isolation stuff they do at the block, that was all Coleman coming over. That was Coleman being a good help side defense guy and getting a couple of blocks. So there's a lot of things that they did that help you win today. Putting the ball in the basket consistently was not one of them, especially in the first half. But I think that a lot of that is the way that Wisconsin plays from a stylistic standpoint. One of the things that concerned me about this game, and I'll kind of let you jab it back, Mike, is that, you know, with the way that Wisconsin plays, I don't care if it's on the moon, if it's in the Kohl Center, if it's in the State Farm Center, they don't let you get in transition. More or less because they only send one guy to the boards and they send four guys back, right? Well, Illinois' offense lately has been based in transition. That's how they've gotten going, right? And so I thought they did a really, really good job of getting something in the half court when they got buckets, whether it's Jaden Epps taking his guy off the dribble and getting all the way to the basket, whether it's RJ Melendez finally figuring out, hell, if the jump shot's not going, maybe I ought to go to the basket and show the athleticism that I was recruited to be here for. And you saw it on that two-handed dunk. That's the most RJ Melendez thing I've seen in 2 months. And I wish he'd do it more. You saw, of course, Matthew Mayer just go off because they can't guard me. And so, but that's all in the half court. They didn't get anything in transition because Wisconsin doesn't let it. And they found another way to win. So they keep putting tools in the toolbox, you know, as we get toward February and March that I think are going to be interesting and key as they've won 6 out of 7.
Yeah, if they can keep the defense consistent and don't have a total meltdown from either the free throw line and or the 3-point line, they should be fine. I have to admit, there was a whopping 11 points scored off the fast break tonight. So if you enjoyed fast break basketball, this was not the game to tune into, which Eric Haslam and some other basketball gurus were complaining about on Twitter, that they shouldn't have picked this game to watch. If you like good defense, I think that was good. The other thing that I really liked was, you know, when Wahl came back in the game with three fouls, Mayer saw an opportunity the first time he had the ball to beat Wahl to the spot on the left-hand side, yeah, drew the fourth foul. To me, that is such good basketball. And then poor Essigen, or however you pronounce his name, getting stuck guarding Mayer. Mayer's biggest problem was, do I shoot over the top of him from the outside or do I go inside and score over him? What a cornucopia of options you get when you have a 6'9" guy who can take a step forward and then do the, you know, the step away jump shot for a three.
Yeah. I mean, and then when they put him back in, Mike, with four fouls, guess what? They tried to get the fifth. I mean, to his credit, he basically played Matador defense the whole rest of the game because he knew he had to stay on the floor for some offense. And they knew that, too. The other thing they knew is in the first half where Illinois scores 20 points, okay, the guy that kept them afloat and the guy that kept them alive was Dane Danger. Yep. And the reason for that, and I didn't know this until I talked to him after the game, but he's apparently played against Stephen Krall, the 7-footer for Wisconsin. He's played with him since early in high school. I did not know this.
Oh, wow.
And the idea, maybe this is in like an AAU setting or something, but the attitude was, I've played against him since high school. And then he stopped talking, which I think if he had finished the sentence, he'd have been like, and he hadn't been able to guard me since then either. Like, and you could see that Dane's confidence continues to go, to get, you know, more and more. And that's something that's been something I've been watching, just his body language and his confidence. In that first half, it was, get me the dang ball, because this guy cannot handle me. I don't care if I go left. I don't care if I go right. I don't care if I shoot. It was almost Larry Bird-esque. I don't mean to compare him to a Hall of Famer, but like, it does not matter if I shoot with my left hand or my right hand. This guy cannot guard me. And Illinois got 8 points out of him in a first half where they scored 20. So he kept them alive. And I felt like if his confidence continues to keep going up and up and up, guess what? Coleman doesn't have to play the five as much anymore. And this team's efficiently better, according to Matthew Mayer, when it's Dane Danger at the five, Coleman at the four, and him at the three. And I don't disagree with that at all. And so I think this team knows, you know, I think the key points of this team and the key, like, I don't know, the key points of this team are getting better and better each and every one of these wins that they've had in six out of the last seven. And you're talking about Dane Danger. You're talking about Jaden Epps, who I thought in the first half kind of reverted back to the old Jaden Epps on defense, because yeah, they played great defense, but Jaden Epps continues to go under screens and Wisconsin just missed shots. Right. And second half, he's going over the top of screens and he's a freshman. We're going to make mistakes, but if you're going to make mistakes on that end, at least he can still look at the dude that's guarding him, especially in a Wisconsin jersey, and go, yeah, I can go by you. And he did.
Although in fairness to Epps, let's give him one bit of credit. If I go underneath the screen on a guy and he misses the shot, I'm going to be tempted to do it a second time because it's a lot harder to fight over the top of one.
Oh, no doubt. Like, he did the easy thing. And yeah. I know, just, and Brent Sturdy can verify this. That's not what you're taught.
I understand. I understand. I totally get it because, you know, right. Sturdy and I were from the 80s. So there, you know, thanks to Bobby Knight, we couldn't switch. So if you didn't fight through a pick, it was like your manhood was questioned by your coach. And it didn't matter, if the whole thing of switching a pick, they didn't care if I had to guard a 7-footer. You weren't switching the pick, you know.
Right. And to the credit of the people wearing stripes tonight, they realized that Stephen Crowell picket fences his screens on the at the perimeter, like, and called him on it. And guess what? Like, you would think, like, at Indiana, they do it all the time. They have run moving screens at Indiana since the day I've been born, right? And they picket fenced it on the day
Purdue,
I was born.
And Purdue, yep.
Sure, yeah. He didn't do it anymore because he was afraid of getting called for an offensive foul, and that allowed guys like RJ, who played, I thought, decent enough defense that kept him on the floor tonight, and guys like Jaden Epps, who played good enough defense in the second half, and guys like Coleman Hawkins are going over the top of screens. And so I thought that was a big key for Wisconsin going whatever they were from 3-point line. I have it in my back pocket. 9 of 27. And God knows, I think a lot, like a couple of those nine were in garbage time when they were trying to make a comeback that didn't mean anything. And so I think Illinois did a lot of things that translate to, If we're talking about NCAA tournament, we're talking about postseason, where transition buckets become even harder to get. I think Illinois did a lot of things in their half court defense that are applaudable tonight. And I think Matthew Mayer, you know, finally deciding I'm going to be an alpha on this basketball team is a huge, huge thing. And I almost wonder, look, I wrote about it after the game, you know, the other day, where he got 12 and they beat Ohio State, and everybody's like, well, why'd you write about Matthew Mayer? Well, I wrote about Matthew Mayer because healthy Matthew Mayer is a hell of a lot better than flu ridden Matthew Mayer. And this version of Matthew Mayer is even better. And I think he's doing something that's kind of special as the season gets close to when he normally kicks it into high gear at Baylor. And that's going to be key for this Illinois team.
Yeah, and especially so. Why don't you talk a little bit about the future here? Illinois to me looks like they've got a nice run of games that if they play well, and Brad didn't say that they were, you know, going to beat everybody, but I look at this and they're, if they play well, and that's a big if, this team could, you know, go on quite a streak right now, and they are going to get in at least little bursts some opportunity to get some Luke Goody on the court, hopefully.
Luke Goody, and Sturdy knows this more than I, but if I'm taking Underwood at his word, Luke Goody's going to start having to doing some practice with his teammates before I start to think. And here's the other thing I worry about with Luke Goody. You, with all due respect to like my alma mater and Larry Smith's alma mater and Brad Sturdy's alma mater, you can't throw Luke Goody out there against an Eastern right now and just get him warm, right? Like when you throw him out there, it's going to be a Big Ten team that wants to take your head off. And that's probably not fair to Luke Goody. And that's going to make it even more difficult for him to get going right off the jump, right? But he's going to have to start practicing first before I start wondering when Luke Goody's going to get on the floor. Totally agree with you on the run that Illinois could make here, though. I was talking about it with a colleague of mine sitting up there in the nosebleeds at Kohl Center. Sturdy knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's the opposite Northwestern. Northwestern is 6-3 right now in conference play. And then I looked at who they got coming in Big Ten play. Whew, Chris Collins has got himself a task here to keep this team in NCAA tournament, you know, projectability, right? Because they've got everybody hunting for them that they don't want to see on their schedule over the next month. Illinois has got a shot here where, honestly, like, I know the Big Ten's all, you know, weird if you're named Purdue. But these are games over the next month that they ought to win, right? I mean, they ought to beat Nebraska at home. They probably ought to beat Iowa on the road. They probably ought to beat Minnesota at home. And if you don't win them, it's probably more damaging to Illinois than it is helpful to the team that just beat Illinois, right? And so I totally agree with you. I think Illinois, who have won 6 of 7, they could make this 10 of 11. They could make this 11 of 12 because I would think they're going to be favored in a lot of games that they play in February.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So any final thoughts, Matt, before we let you go back out and enjoy the elements there in Madison, Wisconsin?
I heard a lot. Here's the last thing, again, because I was a graduate of Oconomowoc Wisconsin High School. I heard a lot of talk about Greg Gard and hot seat and all that, and that might be decent. Okay. I mean, that may be true. I mean, I'm trying to tell you is like the 20-16 first half, while not aesthetically pleasing to the masses of the United States of America, like I'm telling you that Wisconsin fans that sit in the lower bowl here at the Kohl Center and have watched this for 20-25 years, that's what they expect to have happen. Like, I mean, I'm maybe a little bit better offense, but Greg Gard's not going to get run out of Madison because they don't play enough good offense. Greg Gard's going to get run out of Madison because they don't have I'm looking at the, you know, banners that are in there. They don't have a Michael Finley that they can throw the ball to, right? They don't have an Alondo Tucker that you can just throw the ball to when our offense isn't clicking and just, hey, go get us a bucket, right? They don't have that guy. Tyler Wall is not that guy. I mean, and Chucky Hepburn is not that guy. I mean, he's just not, because the guy that's probably guarding Chucky Hepburn is just as athletic as Chucky Hepburn, right? They don't have a Frank Kaminsky that can go from can't make a layup his freshman year to National Player of the Year by the time he's ready to go into the NBA draft. Like, they don't have that type of player. And Bo got to Final Fours and to Championship Monday with those type of players. They don't have that dude right now. Sturdy's not wrong. They need to recruit better athletes, at least one that they can just throw the basketball to. But football type scores here at the Kohl Center, that's become a run of the mill deal to people that buy season tickets here in Madison. So it will not play well in Champaign-Urbana. It will play just fine in Madison. And I think that if they've got to win games, but I think that, you know, Wisconsin's got their guy that they think that can do the same thing that Bo Ryan and Dick Bennett both did here, which is win ugly, man. But to that same point, I think when they play Illinois, I'll get out on this. The problem that Wisconsin's got right now is that when they play Illinois, they're looking at a guy on the other sideline named Brad Underwood who likes to win ugly too. So for the first time in this kind of rivalry type matchup, Illinois has on the chessboard decided to play more like Wisconsin, and they've taken the Wisconsin game to them and they've won. And that's why over the last three times that Brad Underwood's come into this building, he's left with a W, right? And I think that Wisconsin can't play their, you know, old man type basketball against Illinois and think they're going to win. And then, oh, by the way, Brad Underwood recruits athletes that he can out-athlete you too. But if you try to win ugly against Brad Underwood, good luck, because that guy loves to win games that look like Jackson Pollock paintings, right? And so I think there's a checkmate factor right now to having Brad Underwood on your bench, at least when you play Wisconsin, because you can't play the style of play that has gotten the Dick Bennett's and the Bo Ryans and even the Greg Guards to that level of success. They won a Big Ten title last year. They were with Illinois, right? But when they play Illinois, you can't win ugly against Illinois, because that's what Brad Underwood wants to do quietly. But Brad Underwood's not going to say the quiet thing out loud. In Wisconsin, they say the quiet thing out loud, right? Brad Underwood loves to win games like this. He loves it. It's to quote the football coach in Champaign when he was in Arkansas, you know, it's not sexy. We take a little bit longer in the bathroom to get ready. Like, that's how Brad Underwood wants to win in February and March. And so when they schedule these games in the Kohl Center, I think you have a checkmate factor with Brad Underwood on your bench, because he can win that way. And guys that had come in here before, you know, the Bruce Webbers, even the Bill Self's, they found it difficult to win ugly. And I think that Brad Underwood's not that way. And so that's kind of the definition of what I saw today, was even in a first half where Illinois just shaking their head going, Jesus Christ, we only have 20 points. Brad Underwood kind of reminded them, yeah, but they only have 16. You're doing fine. Because it's going to turn on, and then eventually, thanks to Matthew Mayer, it turned on in the second half.
Yep. Well, we appreciate you braving the weather. Drive safe on your way back down to Central Illinois.
Yeah, I'm knocking the table now to make sure I get my Chevy Equinox back home.
Well, may the force be with you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. If you enjoyed today's show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And go ahead and click on the subscribe button so that you get every episode. Of course, we are powered by IlliniGuys.com. Go to there, go to the registration. It's only $99 a year, and you will get all the basketball and football information, women's basketball information. We cover all the sports. You'll get a ton. And in the message boards, you'll be able to not only just read our stories, but you'll be able to communicate with the writers and other fans of the Illini. There's some fantastic debates. Sometimes it even gets a little crazy, but it's a lot of fun. We've got a ton of fans. Be one of the 44,000. Sign up. We'd love to have you. Secondly, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and that will show you all the stations that we're on. It's a weekly 2-hour show that's on either Fridays or Saturdays. Find the city closest to you, the station that we're on, and then go ahead and tune in on the day, Friday or Saturday, and the time. Let them know by email or by a phone call that you like the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, and we'd appreciate that as well. Finally, we have a full line of podcasts. We have Eye on the Illini, of course. We have Sturdy for 30. We have Keds Recruiting Roundup. The Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is released as a podcast after the show has been aired by all of our 30 stations. And we also have another one, if you want to try it, called Big Sports Radio, that covers the whole Big Ten. All those are things that we put out. Feel free to subscribe to those and give them a listen. If you want to listen to people shouting at players for not doing well, shouting at coaches for not doing well, then you won't like these shows. But you want to talk about basketball, you want to talk about, you know, kids and the assumption that kids are doing the best they can, same with the coaches, then that's the show for you. You want to laugh a little bit? Yep. And we'll even talk about some other things. So with that, folks, we will be back when the Illini play Minnesota. Looks like that will be, I'm sorry, when the Illini play Nebraska, that is Tuesday the 31st. That's a 6 p.m. tip-off on BTN, and that's there at the State Farm Center. You want to buy tickets, you can go to fightingillini.com and do so. And then, of course, next Saturday, we'll be at Iowa on Fox at 1:30. That is going to be a barn burner. Will be a lot of fun. The Illini are starting to heat up again, and let's hope things keep going. Looks like another fantastic season by Coach Brad Underwood and the team. Thank you so much, and go Illini!
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.